I would just ask you to just allow the Lord to speak to you this morning as we begin our sermon with a question. And that question for this morning is, what comes to mind when you think of being hard-pressed between two? Maybe you've been there and you've had some issues of life, some challenges, some trials that have caused you to be hard-pressed. One of my first thoughts that came to mind when I thought about this question is being in Seoul, South Korea, or Washington, D.C., getting on the subway. Anybody ever been there? You're feeling hard-pressed, rush hour traffic. You got folks all around you, and everybody's trying to get where they're going, and so you feel a little hard-pressed. See that? In a nutshell, means having a difficult decision to make between two options or two choices, between two opportunities and two opinions. Maybe you've had some of those where you've had something that was better, but there was also the best. And needing to choose between the two. And so I think that leads us into our message this morning as we hear from the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 21 and through 24. Hard-pressed between two. If you would read with me Philippians 1, verse 21 through 24, reading from the New King James Version, and it reads, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you." This hard pressing between two sounds pretty serious for Paul. And so we want to spend a little time just talking about it this morning. What is it to be mean to be hard pressed? See, it means to be experiencing great difficulty or distress. Hard pressed is an adjective used to describe someone who is having a difficult time doing something or making a decision. We've all probably been there before, right? Had a tough time making a decision or choosing between two good things and looking at it and trying to examine which way to go. We can be a challenge with these types of decisions in our own lives, where we do desire the better in our lives over the more needful, which can be two good things. I remember thinking about an illustration of this where you may have heard me say before that I was pending going into command in South Korea, and my commander came to me and took the command away. And then later on, about 6 months later, she offered the command back. And I didn't say everything, but my commander was perceived to be a very hard person. She had already given referred OERs to two commanders, which in a nutshell ends your career. There had been others that had received not the best of evaluations. And I knew going into this command that it wasn't going to be the best. But it was needful. I felt within my spirit that God was saying, I need you to do this. I need you to be willing to step out, even though you know these things. You understand that it's probably not going to be the best. But to care for others, those 166 men and women that were in need of light and salt, we were in need of seeing Christ being lived out. And so sometimes in life we have situations that we can think about that we're hard pressed between two. And we can look at one and one can be better, but is it the best? Is it what's needed? And so let me just talk a little bit about that. See, here's the kicker of this. We are encouraged in our new relationship with God when we come to Christ, when we allow Jesus to be a Lord of our life. It should be an exciting and an encouraging time. But as dear children, we receive fulfillment in sacrifice. See that fine print? That we accept Christ, we move from death into life. There's a newness, there's an abundance, but it's also a life of sacrifice, of giving of ourselves. See, we're reminded, Paul wrote it in Galatians 2:20, he says, I am crucified with Christ. See, that word crucified, in a sense, means afflicted. That you are being, in a sense, laid bare for the good of others. He says, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Man, when you think about that idea and the thoughts that I am crucified with Christ, it can be a little daunting. It can even be a little scary at times where we can go, man, that's a reality of this world that we live in. And I now live by faith, to give like he gave of himself for me, as we give for others. And so it can cause you to kind of step back a little bit, to think about that thing a little bit, especially as we look at the state of our world and society that we live in. Like Paul might, we might want to hurry things up and be with the Lord a little bit quicker. So what is Paul getting at here? What is he talking about when he makes this statement in Philippians? Would he much rather escape all the work? Would he much rather just not have to do it, just go and be with God? See, I think there are two things going on at once in Paul's statements here in this passage of Philippians 1, verse 21 through 24. See, Paul is experiencing great difficulty. He's hard-pressed in the decision-making process. But I do not think that Paul was suicidal, nor did he just want to end it all, to escape this life. See, the apostle's difficulty was not between living in this world and living in heaven. Between these two, there is no comparison. Heaven is far better. We may not have gotten there yet, but we have a good understanding that it's far better. But between serving Christ in this world and enjoying him in another. See, that's what Paul is wrestling with, these two very good things. Not between two evil things, but between two good things. Living for or to Christ, or being with Christ. See, for Paul, it was between being with Christ or being here to and for Christ. One's better, but the other's best. One's better, being with Christ is far better, no doubt. The other is more beneficial, needful, it's best. being here for and to Christ, for the good of others. But as we think about this life of Paul, it was not easy. It was not fun at times. Paul went through many afflictions, through many trials, difficult times for and to Christ. And maybe we can resonate and reflect on that a little bit in our life from time to time. But let's look at what Paul commented on what he went through. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 25 to 27 gives us a backdrop of this. Here's what he says. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Anybody been beaten with rods? Maybe you felt like it when you was coming up. See, back in my day, you used to have this. At school, they used to have this board. And my mama used to have a mama's helping hand. And it may have felt like a rod at times. But I don't think we've experienced it quite like this. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Anybody been stoned? Okay. Words do hurt. That old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me is not true. So maybe you haven't felt that physical, but you felt like you've been stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen. How about that one? In perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness. Everywhere Paul went, he was in peril. In perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. So we get, I guess, life for Paul wasn't always easy, that he went through some trials. And guess what? Life for us at times is not going to be easy or fun. Maybe Paul could have just let go and said, that's enough. Maybe at that time when he was being stoned and it said he was left for dead, he could have just laid there, drifted off, went to go be with Jesus. It would have been far better. Maybe he could have just whispered, take me home, Lord. And if we're not careful, we can feel that way too. But it wasn't needful. It wasn't what was best. So why did Paul choose the more needful over the far better? See, Paul encourages us that there can be and should be an excited expectation of being with the Lord, that day is coming. And know that without a doubt, it is far better. But at the same time, to be in Christ and to operate for Christ is amazing and wonderful. That is rich and glorious. For to be his hands and feet, to serve him with our whole heart, to allow him to be ever present in this world. That he said, greater works you shall do. That we go before him as he is the head, we are the body. And that we serve a great and awesome king. See, there was a commentary in legacydisciple.org said it this way. Paul already claimed that being with Christ is far better than all life offers. How then does the opportunity to participate in things far worse than being with Christ would entice Paul and entice us? See, the answer, Paul speaks of it a little bit farther down in Philippians 1, verse 25 and 26. He says this, and being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of the faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. See, Paul, in his desire to be with the Lord, he also had an extreme desire to participate in the progress and the joy in the faith of the Philippians. That as he served and as he gave and as he did before the Lord, others were blessed. They progressed in order that they might ultimately possess ample cause to rejoice in Christ Jesus. So that in me, Paul says, so that in him, that in his service unto the Lord, you may have ample cause to rejoice in Christ Jesus. See, I want you to understand that this is not just a simple, you know, having a good feeling, you know, a thought. But this is growing in our faith and our hope that we rejoice. That we know, that we know that God is for us. He's not against us. And when we come to a point of understanding and knowing that we are complete in him, then in him we move and breathe and have our being. That no weapon formed against us shall prosper. That there is an appointed time that we will see him face to face. That it is all for our good and not our bad. That we have glory awaiting us. That we are rich beyond men and women. That we step out rejoicing. We step out in this afflicted world. We step out in these trials. And we know the end of the story. That it is great and glorious. And so Paul was willing to go through those trials and those afflictions. He was willing to go through those things, not for his betterment, but for the best of others. And he knew that it would give not only him great joy, but it would bring rejoicing to all those that were blessed because of his service. And so he's reminding us that don't get weary with well-doing. He's reminding us don't get discouraged. That there's a plan and a purpose that God has for it all. That we can transform the world around us by being willing to remain, to continue, to participate in the things of God. For God, in God, through him. So look with me in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 5. See, by remaining and continuing with the Philippians, Paul is participating or practicing what he will preach later in the letter. See, look what he says in Philippians 2, verse 3 through 5. He says, let nothing be done through selfish ambitions or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. See, we're stronger together when we look out for others' interests. When we care enough to serve and to sacrifice and to give of ourselves for the betterment of others, just like the humble and exalted Christ did. See, he thought it not robbery to be equal with man, but made of himself no reputation. He was willing to go to the cross. He said, I must suffer so that others would come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, so that others would be blessed, so that others would be able to rejoice because he's come and at his coming. And so he says, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. The mind of love, the mind of giving, the mind of serving. See, why do I think Paul was so adamant about this, that Paul really wasn't trying to check out, that he was really so looking at these two, and obviously he could see one was better, but he knew that one was needful. See, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22, it's a unique, and it's the only verse of its type, the only place in all of Scripture we hear these certain words. It says this in the King James Bible. After Paul had written this letter to the church from Corinth, he had encouraged them to follow and trust in the Lord, to shun away from false teaching. Don't get caught up in the things of this world, but to trust the Lord, follow him. And this very second to the last verse, he ends this letter with these words. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. See, he's making a bold statement there. See, that anathema maranatha means, the anathema part in the Greek means to be accursed, to be banned, to be removed, to be expelled. And the Maranatha can have three meanings in its Aramaic. It can mean our Lord has come, our Lord comes, meaning in the process of coming, and our Lord will come. And all three are correct. But I believe Paul is making the emphasis on the first one. Our Lord has come. That if anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed, because Jesus has come. He's here. He died on that cross for each and every one of us. And so he's speaking of a present time, and that there's a great work for us. And that work is the work of love, that we love him. And as we love Christ, he compels us to love others. To not run out on the work, not try to escape it, not try to remove it, but we love others because he first loved us. And he was willing to go and suffer on that cross for all of mankind. And so he encourages us to be willing also. Always remembering that it won't prosper. He that has begun a good work in you is faithful and just to complete it. To the day of redemption, he's going to redeem us. He not only has come, he's in the process, and he will come. So Paul is challenging us not to forget that Jesus has come, so that he would have newness, so that we would have newness of life and abundant life right here. We can live it out. So it's a prayer. It's also a plea to live out our God-given plans and purposes. Because we know that Jesus will fulfill his promise, who has come, who is in the process of coming, and will come again. To come again and to take his faithful people to their home in heaven. See, the reality of it is we're not going to lose anything. We're not going to be shortchanged. His promises are steadfast and sure. It also emphasizes and implies that the Lord will judge the evil works and the workers of this world. Anathia, Maranatha. Withdraw. Separate. Remove yourself from all those who love not the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean we don't witness and allow ourselves to be a living testimony. But we're reminded, Anathia, Maranatha, he has come. Not loving him is a curse, and we're not to be the same. The Lord Jesus Christ has come and is coming. So the word of Paul in Philippians 1, verse 21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It is intended to be a cry, not to be a cry of desperation, but an expectation. That as we live out and fulfill the plans and purposes of God, Christ is. Attach what that means to you. Christ is exalted. Christ is glorified. Christ is made known. Christ is working to bring joy and cause rejoicing. And he so desires to work through you and I. And so we don't hide our head in the sand. We don't try to hold our breath till he comes back. But we be found doing. Being the hands and feet of Christ. Because he is coming back. Revelations 22 verse 20 and 21 reminds us of that. For he which testified these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We see a cry of the expectation that he's coming. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. See, he shows grace and mercy in this world, in this life. And so shall it be. But you know, sometimes we can feel like it's too late, it's too much. Our world is too far gone. We can feel like that hard pressing is just not in the decision making, but it's all around us, hard pressed on every side. See, we see a passage that speaks of that. And when we make the needful decision between the hard pressed of the two to be wholly committed to what God has called us to do here, you become hard-pressed on every side. Did you hear that? Just want to be clear about it. When we wholly commit to be used of God, to be for Christ in this earth, you will be hard-pressed on every side. But Paul talked about it in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8 through 12. Here's what he said. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Anybody ever been there? Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. See, we die to self so that Christ can be high and lifted up. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. So just think about that. As we go day by day, we're one day closer. And I used to be there. I used to grieve so much when it came to the passing of this world. And I felt God speaking to me one time. He said, Jeff, I have life for you. I have life for your family members. I have life for everyone that chooses to accept it. See, it's not something to be grieved over. Yes, we grieve the departing of our loved ones, the departing of our friends. Absolutely. But God has a beautiful, wonderful plan that as this physical body is moving towards death, there is a greater life coming. So much so that we should be rejoicing. It's not something to fear, but to rejoice. And while we're waiting, have that life being abundant in you. Experience it and feel it right while we're in this perplexing and messed up world. And why do I say that? Because God knew what he was doing. He knew exactly what he was doing when he birthed you and I during this time, during this season, and in this place. He didn't make any mistakes. See, look what Scripture says in Acts, the 17th chapter. See, we can get weary and think that we can't make a difference, that it's gotten too bad. But God knew what he was doing in giving you life and appointing you for this time and place. Acts 17, 26 through 27. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. So, you know, we all come from one. We just a little bit of, he put some diversity. But we are all of one blood. And has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwelling. To God appointed you for such a place and such a time. So that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him. Though he is not far from each one of us. See, he appointed us for this time with all the perplexities, with all the trials, with all the tribulations, that just as we saw Jesus in Sister Montgomery and Sergeant Brown, and just as we saw Jesus in maybe our mama or a dad, and we groped for him, that someone would see Jesus in us, that would see life in us, that would see hope and cry out to him. That there would be light and salt in this world. So that they should seek him in the hope that they might grope for him. Struggle in the perplexity of this world to seek after him. Just like the woman with the issue of blood pressed through the crowd to touch the hem of his garment. That somebody would be like that during our season, during our time, because of our needfulness. To be actively needful. To be his people. To be his special possession. That others would see him. To be united with Christ and his work and his will. To reflect his image. And the cause of reproducing. To worship him and obey him. To live according to his will. And as others are arguing the points of scripture from Genesis to Revelations, they can't argue with a transformed life. That they see that there's something more. Because you've been brought from death into life. And life more abundantly. And so in summary, saints of God, those that are seeking, keep yourselves. Don't check out mentally, emotionally, and even spiritually. Don't check out. See, Paul said this in verse 24, nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful. So in your waiting for the Lord to return, be needful. Be beneficial. Don't check out. Seek the Lord and ask him, what does your bounds look like? Seek the Lord and ask him to enlarge your territory, to give you a voice and an opportunity to be a living witness as you're being a living sacrifice. The two go hand in hand. One of our sisters shared today, and I probably won't get it exactly right. She says, joy and affliction goes hand in hand like a railroad, two tracks going in the same direction. So as you're going through those afflictions, have joy, unspeakable joy. Let's not be Christians that subscribe to the thought of me for and no more. That we reach out. We allow Christ to be seen and to be high and lifted up in us. See, this is how we remain needful. Is being needed. Make yourself needed. You are light and salt in this world. And you are so needed. Let light and salt just come out of you. And you never know. Somebody might try to taste a little bit. Jude 21, as I end with this part in 21 to 23, keep yourselves in the love of God. See, there's so much in this world that can just try to quench love. But as we go before him, we study, we seek his face, we are keeping ourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Look for him to be merciful. Keep and maintain his love and look to show he is merciful to others. And if some have compassion and make a difference, those opportunities that God makes for you, don't be in such a hurry to leave, but make the most of the opportunities of the time you have remaining to have compassion and make a difference. And of others, save with fire, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted with the flesh. See, there are some that God has made your hands for this. And he'll give you the opportunity to help pull somebody out of the fire. That he's placed you in the right place at the right time. Maybe somebody's gotten so much of this world that they just feel like there's no hope. And they're ready to just give up. But God appointed you at the right time in the right place to share your story, to share the life that he's given you with joy. With all of his afflictions, with all of his trials, yet not defeated, not destroyed, you're able to pull and you feel that life come alive. You're able to say, I was hard pressed between the two. But I know this was best. And watch God. Watch him do great and wonderful things. Because we didn't check out. And we stepped forward through those hard pressing times. We chose